right, how we doing, White Oak Campus? Y'all excited today? Come on, you glad you're here? Come on, if I haven't had an opportunity to introduce myself, my name is Rick Paladin, lead pastor here at Word and Worship Church. I'm here about once a month right now, and one of the reasons why I'm only here once a month is because Pastor Nick and Rachel and the whole team here does such a great, great job. I'm just here to support them and here to oversee and keep things rolling. And you didn't just come to church today. You stepped into a movement. You stepped into a 2,000-year-old movement that's still going very, very, very strong, and I'm excited about what's happening here at Word and Worship Church, White Oak. So thank you so much for coming out today. You could be doing a lot of things. You could be fighting the crowds at the mall. You could be probably doing lawn work outside. You could be doing a lot of things, but you're not. You're here. So thank you so very, very much. We're in the midst of a series right now, Unwrapping the Gifts. And basically it goes like this. If the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were to come to your house on December 25th, and they were to give you gifts, what gifts would they give you? Now, what gifts would God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit bring? Now, listen, I want to be a part of something so big and so great, which is happening right here, something so big and so great, that it requires the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to do it. And the Holy Spirit is this thing, it's like this third person of this Trinity deal that's sometimes hard to figure out. And so we're going to help unwrap that today and say, what would the Holy Spirit bring you? We got home a little bit later last night, my wife Natalie and I, and we found a package at our door. How many of y'all have been finding lots of packages at your door? It's kind of fun, right? And so we looked at it and said, wow, this is from Oklahoma. And here a friend of ours from Oklahoma sent us a gift. And there it was. And so we opened it and says, wow, wonder what this is. And so we looked at it, and then it had on the tag, it's from Harry and David's shop. And it was like, I had no reference of that. You know, to be honest, I had no reference, but I said, wait a minute, this must be significant. And so we began ripping it open and found all kinds of chocolate truffles. And we found fruit and popcorn with like lots of sugar and chocolate on it. The best way to eat popcorn, come on. And we found all this stuff inside, but we needed to unwrap it and uncover it. But to be honest, just having that name on it didn't mean anything to me. I needed to unwrap it and find out what was in there and then dig into it. How many of y'all wish you were digging into that right now? Come on, yeah, see those hands. Now, the Holy Spirit is the same way. Sometimes we get this gift, and it's like, okay, what's this name on it? What do we do with it? But unfortunately, most of us leave the Holy Spirit in the box, leave it wrapped up, because quite frankly, we're either freaked out, okay, or it's just too hard to figure out. Either way, we just leave it in the box. And I'm going to help you unwrap some things. See, when I met Jesus a whole bunch of years ago, I am so, so grateful that when I met him and I began a personal relationship with Jesus, it was in the context of the Holy Spirit doing miraculous things. I mean, I literally was in a place, I didn't expect this to happen. People were getting healed. There were miracles going on. All this miraculous stuff, and it just drew me in. It was like, whoa, what's this? But see, I'm so happy that that was my introduction to Jesus, because I can't separate Jesus, what he did for me, the Father's love, and the Holy Spirit. But now you may be here today, and that may not be your case. You may have met Jesus, you began a relationship with him, and now you're trying to figure out this Holy Spirit deal. Well, we're going to unwrap it together, and so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your phone or your Bible or you want to read along up on the screen, you can do any of the above today. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's going to get good. Okay. How many of you said that by faith? Come on, there we go. Listen, I think every now and then we forget that what we're reading in the Bible was a letter written. The Apostle Paul was writing a letter to people in a real place called Corinth. Corinth was a very corrupt place. As a matter of fact, there was a term in the New Testament that said to Corinthianize was the same as prostitution. It was a very lewd place, prostitution rampant, corrupt as can be. See, we today in our day and age think, oh, wow, in biblical days, everything must have been perfect. My friends, it wasn't perfect. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the people in Corinth because they had all these questions about things in the church. Matter of fact, if you read the whole book of 1 Corinthians, it's like a Jerry Springer show waiting to happen. I mean, it really is. I mean, there's somebody sleeping with a stepmother, and there's people suing one another, and there's people arguing over divorce, and the resurrection, what's that? I mean, it's filled with division and disorder. How many of y'all can see, you can relate to Corinthians already, right? And see, so they were asking a lot of questions, and so the Apostle Paul is like answering a lot of questions. How many of you have a lot of questions about God? Come on, how many of you do? Yeah, you got questions. I do too. Some of them probably won't get answered until I get to heaven. And that's okay, but the ones that we can answer here, I want to answer here. And so what we find here is where he's unwrapping some questions written, trying to help them understand some spiritual gifts. Now, I said all that in hopes that you'll understand the context of what we're talking about here. So here in chapter 12, verse 1, Apostle Paul, he says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question," see, they had questions, "regarding this question, about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this." The first thing he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to miss what God's doing. I don't want you to miss anything here. I don't want you to be unaware about these spiritual abilities and these spiritual, we're going to use the term gifts, that the Holy Spirit gives. Then he says, you know that when you were still pagans, that just means far from God, that's before Jesus, okay? That doesn't mean you were in a motorcycle gang, okay? You were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So the second thing the Apostle Paul says right here, he says, we serve a God that wants to speak to us. See, they used to worship in the before they were Christians, they worshiped idols that could not speak. They were just statues. And he said, that's what you used to do, but the God we worship now, he wants to speak and interact with us. Isn't that great that God's not dead? He still wants to speak to us. Come on, isn't that should excite you. See, he wants to speak. He wants to have a relationship day by day with us. That's just so awesome right there. So I want you to know, verse 3, that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Let's hold up here. What was happening here? There were people that were speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a gift from God. That means you're speaking in a language not known to you that converses with God. There were people in the pagan before God. That means outside of God. See, you can't have a counterfeit unless there's something real. See, there's always counterfeits of the real thing, okay? Like, I can't give you a counterfeit $3 bill because there isn't such a thing, right? I could try to pass off a counterfeit $5 bill, right? See, so what happened was is there's people that in pagan religion, outside of God, they were muttering things. And matter of fact, people with epilepsy, and I'm not making fun of this anyway, I'm just giving you some background. People with epilepsy were considered spiritually empowered in the pagan religion because they uttered, and they, when somebody has an epileptic seizure, they would speak, and they would say, oh, that's God. Okay, counterfeit. They made that up. So here we find that somebody was speaking in tongues in a church meeting, and they said, Jesus is cursed. And so everybody in that meeting went, oh, Jesus is cursed. That must be true. And they weren't looking at what does the Bible really say. Jesus is not cursed. That means separated from God. Jesus is God. They're together. And so they were confusing things here. So he's saying, wait a minute. Nobody speaking to God is going to say Jesus is cursed. You wouldn't do that. That's crazy here. He says no one can say Jesus is Lord. That means in charge. That means he's the leader. He's the one that calls the shots of your life. Nobody can say that by the Spirit of God. See, once a year, you would have to go to the altar. You would sprinkle incense on the altar if you were in Rome, and you would say, Caesar is Lord. See, so he's saying, listen, you can't have a little bit of Caesar is Lord and a little bit of Jesus is Lord. It's either one or the other. You can't have two lords, two people in charge of your life. Either God's in charge or you're in charge. See, I'm trying to say to you, he's trying to set and say, wait a minute, you can't just say Jesus is Lord and then go do your own thing. It takes the Spirit of God. Let's go on to the next verses here. In verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Who's it given to?
Each of us.
Say it again. Look at your neighbor and say, you're in each of us, okay? You're in each of us. So that we help each other. See, we are not here to compete with each other. We're here to complete one another. Because we are referred to as the body of Christ. So there's no competing. We should be completing. That's the goal. I'm here to help complete. I just have a gift, not the gift. Okay? And in this context here, there were people that were going around and they were saying, well, I have the gift of prophecy or I have the gift of healing, so I'm better than you. And we do this in church all the time. We make celebrities out of those with gifts of healing and gifts of miracles. Well, we either make them celebrities or what we do, okay, is we totally negate them because you had a bad experience or you heard a false something about somebody and so you just throw it all out. See, both of those are wrong. You can't have pride in it, but you can't throw it out either. That's just hocus pocus. I don't believe that. Don't like that. Pastor, we don't do that here. And most of the time when people get hurt, and there's many people here, you've been in a church setting and you've gotten hurt. Do you know where most people go when they're hurt from a church? They go to a very safe place that doesn't believe in miracles or healing and doesn't believe in the power of God anymore because it's safety there. If God just stays in heaven and I just stay down here trying to do the best I can with what I have, everything will be fine. But my friends, God has not called us as his people to safety. He's called us to take risk. Look at the risk he took on you. No, think about that. He took a risk on each and every one of us. Okay? So we can't do that. So we can't have pride, my gift's better. We can't throw it out, nor can we use the gift for self-fulfillment. That means I'm going to use all the gifts in the Holy Spirit just to make me feel better. It's not so that I'm fulfilled. It's so that I can fill the world with something great. There's a Holy Spirit that's waiting to be tapped into, church. There's a Holy Spirit that is waiting for us to uncover and discover who he is so that we can literally be a wonder and a sign to this world. Unfortunately, in our day and age, we've become Christians who follow after signs and wonders rather than signs and wonders following after us. As soon as something's happening, we want to go see it. And I think the real question is why aren't there more miraculous things? Why isn't there the power of God following my life? I think that's a real question. I think a good question, and we were talking about this at our connection group this past week. We said, if the Apostle Paul were to write a letter to us right now at Word and Worship Church, what would he write? What would he write? If the Apostle Paul was like, man, I want to write you a letter. You got to know this about God. What would he write? I know a couple things that I think he would write. I think he would write, lift up your eyes and look to God, from whom our help comes from. Let's not be controlled by darkness. Let's be controlled by what happens in heaven. See, that's what I think he would tell us specifically, and I communicated this to our leaders. We need to be careful, church, because the devil is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And there are Christians getting devoured by sin and by corrupt and by all these things. Marriages and relationships are getting tested. There's craziness going on all around us. And we need to wake up and look at this gift of the Holy Spirit and cling to what we do have and cling to God like never before. That, my friends, is what I believe the Apostle Paul would write to us in today's day and age. So what we find here in these verses, just jumping back to there, is this, and he's saying, listen, there's no gift that's bigger than the other. There's no gifts that are used selfishly for one another. We've all been given a gift. Now, I want to stress this. Humanitarian efforts are good, But what our world needs and what I believe our world is begging for right now is what only the Holy Spirit can do. Listen, I am all for next week we're going to feed over 200 people and love them and feed them, and then we're going to give them food to take home. I'm going to be there. I love it. But listen, that's great, but it's the Spirit of God that changes lives. So I'm all for all those efforts. I think we should all get behind those efforts. I think we should be sending more people out on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons to love people that are forgotten and locked away, and what you're doing today. I think that's huge. I think that's big, okay? But it's the Spirit of God that changes us. But we need power tools. Recently, I was helping relatives of my wife's side. They were doing a roof. And I was up on the roof helping. And so I was like feeding them shingles, and I was moving things and ripping off the shingles, and we were doing all this work. And then there were a couple roofers there. We were just helping them. And it came at one point, and they had one of those guys, you'll know what I'm talking about, like the nail gun. Like whoever has the nail gun's in charge. Come on, guy, am I right? Yeah, if you have the nail gun, you're in charge. And I was watching them use this thing. And they said, Kay, can you hand me the nail gun? And I looked at it, you want me to hand you the nail gun? See, I'm a good laborer, but I don't want to touch the nail gun. I like all my toes right where they are. Don't want nails in my legs. I like everything the way it is. And so I picked it up, and I'm like, where's the trigger? And I just walked down and I was like, See, I didn't really want to mess with the nail gun. Now, how many of you men out there know that if you have a nail gun, the job goes a lot quicker? You can do it the old-fashioned way, or you can do it that way. It goes quicker because there's power attached to it. But many of us are just like me when it comes to the spiritual gifts. That's for you, not me. No, you, O man of God, you do the spiritual stuff. I'm just here to watch. Okay? But that's not true. According to John 14, we've all been given the Spirit of God. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Come on, you. You've been given the Spirit of God to glory and honor to Him. Isn't that wild? But we don't do that. Come on, ladies. When you're making, how many ladies out there know? When you're baking Christmas cookies, how many of y'all ladies are going to bake Christmas cookies? Come on, there's anointed ones right there. I'm going to pray anointing on you today. God, bless the hands that are raised. Come on, just bless them, Lord. Bless them, God. Yeah, caramel tassies. How many of you can mix it all by hand, but if you have a mixer, it goes a lot quicker. Am I right? What I'm trying to say to you is this. Most Christians go through their whole life doing everything on their own. You can make it through on your own, but why not use the power tool? Why not use the big mixer? Come on, are you with me now? Like, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you say, I want a little more? I want to use the power God has for my life, and I want to use it for what it's supposed to be. Come on, are you with me now? Now, we're going to uncover some of the gifts now in verses 8 through 11 here. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith. To another, to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of, say it together. Let's keep going. Let's read. I thought there was more. Thank you. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, last week, Brother Rob went over all the seven gifts, the motivational gifts, the functional gifts. Okay, because at Christmas, how many of y'all know every now and then you get a functional gift? You get a hat, scarf, mittens, right? Here you're getting power tools. I'm just going to warn you, next week, you're going to get a gym membership, okay? I'm just telling you that right now, okay? You're going to get something practical, okay? I'm just warning you what's coming, okay? All kind of gifts God and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, gives us here. Now, there's 9 gifts here, and I want to just communicate to you that I believe these gifts are still alive and valid today. Now, many people say, are the gifts still valid? And I just want to say this. People use 1 Corinthians 13 when the perfect has come, the partial will be done away with. And they say that these gifts are no longer for today. If you look later on, in the Apostle Paul clearly said, he said, listen, we will be made complete when we see him face to face. I haven't seen God face to face yet, so I believe that, listen, being complete and being mature, when I stand before him and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, I will be complete at that point. There's nothing you can add to my life at that point, right? So I believe today, see, why would God say the Holy Spirit is only for a select group of people and not for us today? I think that would be a mean trick. Now, these gifts were very, very active up to the 3rd century. Then they died down. And there's been pockets of it spring up here and there over time. Listen, I want something so big and so great to happen in White Oak, Pennsylvania that only God could get the credit for it. I'm serious. I want something so big. I want every chair filled in here, not one time a Sunday, but 2 times a Sunday. We signed it a little bit of longer term lease already. We're prepared for to grow in this place. I believe that you can do it. But it's not going to be because human effort. It is not because we're helping you be smarter. No, we're helping you be transformed by the power of the living God. See, I wasn't good trying to become better. I was dead and I became alive. There's a difference. We're not just here trying to do the best we can. No, I was dead and I became alive. And if you've met Jesus Christ, that happened to you as well. And I've been spending all my years now just trying to figure that out and try to live it out. So I want to give some definition to these gifts, help you understand some of these. Let's look at these first ones, the power to say, the gift of tongues. I believe that the gift of tongues, there's one gift that we're given. It's personally to edify me. It's talking to God in a foreign language not known to me. Hyperglossia is the Greek term there. Shouldn't be something we fear, shouldn't be something we're freaked out over. It's just normal Christianity. But there's also the tongue that's spoken corporately. And what I believe Paul is speaking to here is speaking out right now in a tongue that we would not know by English. So it's just speaking that out. There's some references here. Let's look at the next one. This one should be followed by the interpretation of tongues. That's the spiritual translation of the tongue given publicly to edify, encourage, and comfort. Please note, edify, encourage, and comfort. That's what prophecy does, and that's what public declaration does as well. Now that means if somebody during worship would speak out, or somebody would come up and say, Pastor Nick, in order, that's what we do here. If you have a prophetic word, you come to whoever's running a service, you say, this is what I believe God's saying or doing. I'd like to share that. Once you say that, you say, Pastor Nick, this is what I think. If he says, that's cool, let's wait on that. You did your part. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to judge it. You don't have to talk about Pastor Nick. You did your part. You leave it where it should be left, and you leave it alone. If he says, stand up and share it, you can stand up and share it. If he says, look, let's wait on that, you wait on that. Because we do things decently in order, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay? So that's what this one is. Let's go on to the next one, power to say. Prophesy or prophecy. Okay? A supernatural insight, speaking for God, that brings edification, comfort, and exhortation. Okay, that's what these 3 things do according to 1 Corinthians 14. We still believe that God still, that prophecy is still alive today. We don't believe that you should stand in the parking lot prophesying over people who leave. Okay, that's freaky, that's scary, okay? Okay, we should believe it's done decently and in order. Let other people hear it. See, you can, when you speak forth for God, you don't mind other people judging it. Because listen, we all take risks. I remember one time I ministered prophetically over people. That means I was just speaking, praying for them, speaking to them prophetically. And I'll never forget, it was a whole year later, I was about to do it again. It was a big conference. I was about to go in to do this again. And then man walked up and he says, hey, Pastor Rick. I says, yeah. He wasn't from our church. He was from somewhere else. He says, remember what you said to me last year prophesying? I says, man, I'm not real sure, but you know, maybe. He says, none of it came true. It was all false. I says, glory to God. Let's go do this again. Come on. And what I'm trying to say is sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we do. But there's protection in there when we say, I believe this is what God is saying. I believe this is what God is saying. Let it be judged accordingly. Because accordingly, if I say, this is what God wants to do, and it doesn't happen, according to the Old Testament, I should be stoned and killed. Okay? Putting that little provision in there, this is what I believe God's saying. I want you to judge it. I want you to consider this according to Scripture first. What does the Bible say? According to common sense, if you're married, God is not going to call you to leave your spouse and move to a foreign land for 5 years to serve people, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, that's not God. Well, they won't come with me. Then stay home, okay? I'm just telling you that right now, that's God, okay? Is that clear? Okay, let's go on to the next gifts here, and the power to do, the gift of faith, a unique form of faith that goes beyond natural and saving faith. Supernaturally trust and does not doubt. Let's go on to the next one here. And these are all listed there. Gifts of healings, supernaturally and miraculously made whole and well, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. I believe that many of us here today, we may not need a physical healing, but we need an emotional one. We need a spiritual one. And I believe that the gift of healing is still active today. Now, one of the big questions I get all the time, Pastor Rick, why doesn't God heal everybody? Well, the only question I can have is, like, I just looked at Jesus' life, and he didn't heal everybody he came in contact with. There were several occurrences where he stepped over sick people to get to the one to heal them. Now, that may bother you if you think God's fair. I don't know. Out of the 120, he picked 12 that he hung with all the time. Out of those 12, he picked 3 that were like his chums, and he took them up. They hung together all the time. What I'm trying to say is God's not always fair, but he is just. But just because I pray and just because I believe God for healing and it doesn't happen doesn't make it, it's not a valid gift today. Listen, I have prayed for a lot of people. I really have. And some of them have gotten touch from God. Unfortunately, most of them have not. But I'm just going to keep praying. I'm going to do my part and let God do what he does. I'm really good being Rick, his child of God, and his son. He's really good at being God. Let's not confuse the two. Okay? But there's that one. Let's go on to the next one. Miracles. Divine and enabling to do that which could only be done supernaturally. Now, this is different than healings because these are done outside the human body. See, these are all definitions. These are the things the Apostle Paul is writing. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on to the last three here. And these are the things, power to know, the word of wisdom, supernatural insight into some particular need or problem and brings practical application to God's word. I value sometimes just that little word of wisdom, something that God springs up, something God drops in your heart. You can speak to somebody there. Let's go to the next one, knowledge, divine insight into the truth of the gospel and its application to Christian living, knowing things that can only come from the Holy Spirit. That means I know something that only came from the Holy Spirit. There's just something, and I've seen this active. Maybe you've been in a service, a church service, where somebody pulls somebody out of the crowd they don't know and tells them all about their past. That would be, you know, like, wow, they're reading my mail, you know. Did you ever hear that statement before? Man, they were really reading their mail today. And people have told me that before. They said, Pastor Rick, you know, hey, you were preaching today. You must be reading my mail. You were talking to me. And I said, man, I was talking to everybody. It just happened to hit you in your moment of time. Okay? At North Braddock recently, it was right after the church service, one of the ladies come to me and says, Pastor, that was a good message. I says, man, thank you. And they says, man, you were spanking me and spanking me hard. And I went, can you do me a favor? And she went, anything, Pastor. I says, don't put that on Facebook. Don't put that on Facebook. Okay, I'm just saying, I know what you're meaning, but like other people might not know what you mean, okay? It was scary sometimes, okay? See, sometimes when you're talking about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, you got to be careful, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. You got to be careful because context is everything. Let's say, I think there's one more. We got one more there? Yeah, discerning of spirits, the ability to detect the true source of circumstances or motives. Let me make it really clear right now. When I say discerning of spirits, I'm not talking about righteous suspicion. You know, divine judgment. Oh, I just have the discernment. No, you just like to judge people. There's a difference. There's a big difference. Don't say, I just know what they're thinking. No, you don't. Okay, you may be able to discern difference in spirits, and God's given that to you for the greater good. But that's not for you personally. You with me there? Okay, let's just jump down a couple verses in 1 Corinthians 12 there. And there we go. The human body has many parts. Many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Let me just tell you something. Why we believe in membership, why we do First Sunday, and we want you to be engrafted and to be an active, functioning part. Because in the New Testament times, there was no such thing as a non-functioning member. Like if you became a believer in Jesus, you became a part of a local congregation. There was no separation to the two. So when we say you're important and we want you here, it's not so that we can keep our roles up and Pastor Nick gets a commission check every Monday according to who comes, okay? That's not true at all. But what it is and what we're trying to say is that you're an active, functioning part of the body of Christ. And when you're not here, it matters. See, in the New Testament times, either you weren't a believer yet, you were either a member of a local congregation, an active functioning part, or you were under church discipline and you weren't permitted in the church. There's only three options. I'm trying to give you a biblical context to what he's communicating here. And so these spiritual gifts, being alive and well for today. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:1. I want to keep walking through here. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. What he said, you should also desire the spiritual gifts. He just gets done talking about love. Love is one. Listen, we need to be a people of love. Come on. Speaking the truth in love. But what he says here, we should desire. This word desire is to be zealous for, to burn with desire for, to pursue adamantly, eagerly, intensely. The Apostle Paul is saying here, listen, we should want all that God has. We should be hitting the pedal down and saying, I want everything God has for me. I don't want to be left out on anything. But instead, most of us, we have a posture of fear. We have a posture that we're stepping back with the gifts rather than stepping forward with the gifts. Okay, now that's where I want to get to. I want to start desiring the spiritual gifts. I want everything God has. If the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are going to come to my house and deliver some gifts, I want them all. And they're a lot better than chocolate truffles. Come on. But we don't. I'm going to tell you why. In Exodus chapter 20, there's a good illustration. I'm not going to dig into it, but I just want to show you this. What happened right after the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments happened. The people heard thunder. They heard lightning. They heard all this stuff going on. All this miraculous, God was like speaking from heaven, and they were getting freaked out. They were like, whoa, 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 whoa. They stood at a distance, trembling with fear. And they said, you speak to us and we'll listen, but don't. You go to God for us. We don't want to go to God. You do it. You do it, Mo. You do it. We want to stay here. Let's look at the rest there. And don't be afraid, he said. For God has come in this way to test you and so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning. And that word fear, yes, there's a fear of God, but you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about the awe of God. Many of us have lost being awed by God because we just fall into the usual routine. I want to be awed by him. I want to stand in awe and say, wow, did you see what God did? That's where I want to live. That's where I want the Spirit of God to take you and your life and in your workplace. in your everyday, ordinary lives, Monday through Saturday. I want there to be an awe of God on your life. And many people in this room right now, you've given up on that. You said, there's no way God could do that. I want to tell you today, God can do that. He can. He's still a God that woos us. He's still a God that awes us. But we got to break out of this thing. As the people stood in the distance, Moses approached. We got to give up it's the man of God's job and say it's all of us. Come on, I want in on this deal. How about you? Come on, I want in on this deal. I want to desire everything God has for me. And I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm saying we're scared. But many of you, listen, we're going to take you and we're going to ship you to Haiti. You know why? Because you're either going to find God and it's going to become miraculous. Or Terry Nelson, who's coming, he's a missionary in Haiti. What he tells people all the time, you get sick in Haiti, you pray and you get healed, or you will die. That's how he says it all the time. You will die. So prayer and fasting's coming up. Do you know why we're doing prayer and fasting? It's not to manipulate God. It's to consecrate, separate our lives for God. Every Wednesday night in the month of January, we're going to have praise and worship together. And we're going to worship Jesus together and get our minds off the things of the world and turn them towards God. Terry Nelson experiencing in Haiti all kinds of miracles, signs and wonders, wonderful things. When he was asked about a month ago, Pastor Terry, what do you attribute all the healings, all the signs and wonders, all of the things going on in Haiti? He said 24 years of prayer and fasting. Oh, You want the miraculous? You want to see the fullness of God? You willing to go 24 years of prayer and fasting? Come on, we're just asking for 21 days. 21 days, we're saying, let's consecrate ourselves. We're going to help empower you. Listen, we want you to get this book. It's Praying with Confidence. 31 days. Like, here's just one day. Just a simple reading. You look up the verses, you read it. It's to help you learn how to pray and talk to God on your own so you don't only have to depend on Jim and Rob and Nick and Ed and the rest of the guys here. You can pray on a regular basis on your own. Well, I want you to have confidence. So I want you to get this book. And in January 1, we're going to start reading this book every day. And then we're going to get together and we're going to believe God together for great and wonderful things to happen in White Oak, in McKeesport, and in Irwin, in East McKeesport. All the way far out, that faraway land, Elizabeth Forward out there. We're going to still believe God goes there. Come on. We're going to believe God even can cross the river and go to West Mifflin. Come on. Come on, he's a big God. Come on now. Come on, are you with me now? Stand to your feet. I'm going to read one more thing to you. How many of you are stirred up today? They're going to lead us in a song in a couple minutes, but I want to read one more verse. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit became evident, Peter preaches this great word. Peter rocks the house, man. He brought the word. I mean, Peter's preaching. He's going to town, man. He's like, he's going to town. And then all of a sudden, they get to a place, all the people listening, 3,000 people plus listening. 3,000 people plus. And what do they say? Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? That's evidence of the Holy Spirit right there. You have evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life when you're cut in your heart and you say, what shall we do? Whatever God wants to do, let him do. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit. You don't do that on your own. That's the Holy Spirit. Many of you right now, you're getting pierced in your hearts right now. Something's coming alive like it hasn't been alive in a long, long time. Come on, I can see it happening right now. And so what did he say? Peter said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Number one, repentance. That means a change of mind, a change of action, and a change of direction that only God could do. In just a moment, I'm going to ask if there's anybody here today that needs to first of all repent and turn to God. That's number one. If you want this Holy Spirit, if you want to unwrap the gift, that's what it's required. I'm using the same words they used 2,000 years ago. That's number one. Number two, he says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. On New Year's Eve, we're baptizing people. And if you haven't been water baptized, that means all the way into water and all the way back up, since you became a follower of Jesus, we want you to get water baptized. Why? Because it identifies you with Jesus, with his body. Doesn't put you at Word and Worship Church. It puts you connected to him. And before I want you connected to the church, I need you connected to him. The connected to this church ain't going to do no good for you unless you're connected to God the Father through Jesus Christ. So get baptized. And then next year, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Who's the promise still for? All of us. All of us. Isn't that exciting? Is he still a God who cares? He's still a God who sees? He's still a God who watches? He's still a God who knows? I think that's pretty cool. He's still a God with open arms, reaching down, saying, come on in. Come on in. It's a wonderful thing. So we're going to sing a song about the Holy Spirit in a few minutes here. But before I leave, and I'm going to head to North Braddock, I get to preach. I get to do all this twice today. I feel bad. You only get to do this once. After it's all done, you can get in your car and race to North Braddock and get it twice if you want. I feel bad. But listen, what I want to ask, is there anybody here today that you know you and God aren't right? Is there anybody here today? Actually, I didn't say, do you go to church? I didn't say, do you believe? I'm saying, is there anybody here today that you know you need to repent? You need to change and go towards God based on what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you right now. And there are people right here, your heart's beating like crazy. You're a little scared, but your heart's beating. Your heart's going, wow, whoa, come on. And I want to offer you today, December 13th, 2015, as your day. Welcome home. Come on back to being restored to being the way God's designed you to be. And let Jesus become the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future that you can only say by the Spirit of God. And I don't care if you've been in church. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But if you don't know or you don't have a date or a time or a moment that you met Jesus, I want today to be your day. So I'm going to ask you to do something really bold in just a couple seconds. I want you to stick up your hand and say, you know what? That's me, Pastor. I'm going to want that. I want that today. I want today to be my day. I don't want to leave here not knowing that because I want all the gifts God has for me. So if that's you right now, you want today to be your day. You want to repent and turn towards God, or you want to come back home. I want you to boldly right now, in Jesus' name, just stick up your hand and say, you know what, that's me today. Come on, just stick up your hand right where you're at and say, that's me today. That's me. I want to do that today. I'm not going to leave here the way I came. Anybody at all in the house today? Anybody at all? Don't let this moment pass from you. Don't let this moment pass. In Jesus' name, thank you very much. Say, keep that hand up. We're going to cheer you on. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else?